It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
P to the OD. Cast on the weekly about Succession. So many pods per week. See P to the OD. Cast on the weekly about Succession. Podcasting like a pro. Make some noise.
Succession is over, but we're just getting started here on post-show recaps. More specifically, the series finale with open eyes is over. That's right, it's the Succession podcast on post-show recaps, where we're breaking down the HBO show's final season, final episode, episode by episode, podcast by podcast. And you get commercial-free versions of Succession podcast when you sign up at patreon.com/postshowrecaps at any level. That's patreon.com/postshowrecaps at any level for ad-free versions of the Succession podcast. My name is Grace, and today we're discussing Season 4, Episode 10, the series finale with eyes open. And I'm joined here by my co-hosts Jess Sterling and Mike Bloom. Jess, it's over.
I'm so sad, but I'm so happy, but I'm so sad, but I'm so excited.
And Mike Bloom is here, the new CEO of Post Show Recaps.
Yes, just call me Josh Wiggler Mark II, because I'm sexier. That's not possible. Josh is an incredibly sexy man, so there's no way. They broke the mold with him.
And that's really what we're all about here on the audio medium, Post Show Recaps, the sexiness of the CEO.
I mean, listen. You got to bring the eyes connect to the ears in some way, right? Mm-hmm. Listen, we're not talking about eyes today. I hear people are not into eyes. They're like face eggs.
Well, I mean, we joke about the sexiness of the CEO, but Mattson does tell Tom. He's very handsome. Very sexy.
I mean, Matthew McFadden is definitely sexy. So got that on lock.
Well, we're going to get into it. The Tom of it all, the Roy sibling reunion, then tragedy of it all. We'll get into it all. But just to give a quick programming shout out for the final week of Succession weekly coverage, make sure we have live recaps here on postshowrecaps.com/YouTube, or you can give your feedback. There'll be a deep dive tomorrow with myself, Dr. Amanda, and Josh Wiggler himself. There'll be the Versus Pod with LaTanya and Josh. There'll be Shenanigans with Rob and Josh, and then a wrap-up show on Friday, once again, on postshowrecaps.com/YouTube. But Jess, that is not all.
Of course not.
We're not done with Succession. You thought that was it? that we stopped talking about the show after 1 week?
Yeah. Jokes on you.
We thought that the recaps would just get in an elevator and go up to the roof and fall off the roof. No, you've got a park to amble through for the next month or so.
That's right. Jess, do you want to announce what's happening?
I'm so excited. So we have a few things in the works. First, we're going to be doing episode rankings. So in case you haven't been sending in your ratings for all the characters, all the episodes, you still have some time to send those in. PostShowRecaps.com/RateRoy. We're going to be going through episodic rankings. It's going to be me, Josh, and Grace breaking them down for a couple of weeks in the future. I'm so excited. I was built for this. I was born for this. I've been training for this moment.
You watched all of Succession today. Not all of it, only season four.
Only season.
You watched a fourth of Succession today. That's still saying a lot.
You watched the length of season three today. Yeah.
I did.
Well, that's not all. We're also going to have a battle royale as we are going to pit characters against each other, tournament style, bracket style. That is going to be you, myself, Dr. Amanda, maybe some guests along the way. We shall see. We are going to bracket it up and see which Roy should have won. We're going to see if
who reigns supreme.
Yeah, who reigns supreme. So you can get all that and more at postrecaps.com/subscribe and say subscribe to the feed because there's more Succession coverage to come. But I think everybody who's here is waiting for us to break down the episode. Jess, would you like to do the honors of giving us a quick plot recap?
I would love to. With eyes open, we kick off the finale with Kendall in a tough spot. He doesn't have the votes he needs for the upcoming board vote. Sound familiar? This time he's up against Madsen with Shiv as his pick for CEO, or so she would believe. Madsen actually doesn't want Shiv to be his CEO because that would be an obstacle for him having relations with her, I guess? Madsen, in his infinite wisdom, approaches Tom with an offer to make him the US-based CEO. Greg, ever the cockroach and opportunist, relays this information to Kendall, who is busy fighting Shiv for Roman's board vote in Barbados at their mother's summer house. The 3B is back on when Shiv finds out and they anoint Kendall as the would-be king with a blended crown to boot. Things get even messier when Shiv finds out that Tom is Madsen's pick while stickering up Logan's belongings. It all comes down to the vote. Which side are you on? It's 6 versus 6 with Shiv left to vote. The 3B have it out in a room all to themselves. Kendall is desperate to be CEO, but Shiv doesn't want him to have it. She doesn't think he can do it, and let's be honest, it's better for her kid if their father is CEO, not their uncle. Shiv brings up the cater waiter scandal that Kendall accidentally participated in at her wedding, and Kendall denies it ever happened. All hell breaks loose at this point as Roman says Shiv's kid is the only true heir, and Kendall chokes him. She votes no, Tom is the new CEO, and he even forgives old Greggy. We leave Succession with Tom and Shiv sort of kind of holding hands in the car, and Kendall mirroring his father's lonely walk through the park with Colin alone.
That's with eyes open. Mike, I'm going to start with you because you started Succession not that long ago. I believe when we were doing the Succession, starting to do the rewatch, you jumped on board with Succession. So this is all quick happening for you. So how do you think that? This is it. This the plane is landed, I guess. How do you think it was?
Yeah, we're at Teterboro. Not a lot of corpses to take off. I mean, that should be the big takeaway, right? Is Game of Thrones has ruined our brains for so many reasons. There was so much like, Roman's gonna die. Kendall's gonna die. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. When Kendall goes in that elevator and we get the wide shot of the windows as people are signing and glad handing, I thought, and there goes that body, madman style. Doesn't end up happening.
Only that somebody else got in the elevator. I was like, they're probably not going up. So I think we're okay.
He did hit the zero button and I was like, phew, okay, I can relax.
0 for the amount of lives I will have after this. Yeah. So all that being said, it is all about expectations. For me, I wouldn't say that I didn't have stakes in this finale, but I never thought it was going to be the episode of Succession. It was an episode of Succession. And that being said, I really thought the ending was perfect. It was messy. It was conflicting. It was really a tale of two halves, to be completely honest, where it was so much the calm before the storm. And as Mark Mylod talks about in the behind the scenes feature at the end, you're just waiting for that other shoe to drop, and it drops in a major way as everything falls apart for Kendall and life continues on, which I think is the most beautiful thing, that it's not wrapped up in a neat little bow like we usually expect from series finales, that these are, as much as they might speak in flowery, you know, profane languages, still people at the end of the day. And so they're going to keep going, perpetuating the cycles of either where they started or in whom's big shoes they might be filling.
Yeah. So, well, Well, I think one of the things, I think in terms of, like, it's not wrapped up in a neat bow, but I actually think in Succession terms, it is. Because there's all this talk all week long about, are we going to get a time jump? Because things change so rapidly episode to episode in Succession that I do think there was some, the idea of a time jump was going to, like, sort of solidify whatever happened at the end-ish of the show. And then we get, like, 10 minutes or 15 minutes of, like, the future that we got from the end of the episode. And they really don't, but I do feel like none of the Roys are at Waystar Royco. So yeah. Tom is the CEO, and yes, I agree, Jess, like, it's a good move, I think, from her in terms of the stability for her child. And I was long on the train of, like, Logan Jr. will run Waystar Royco at some point, so potentially still on the table. But as far as we can see, no Roy is part of Waystar Royco. And for a thing we said all along, just back when we were ranking how good are these characters on a scale of, you know, actual nice person to bore on the floor, and we're like, nobody's really that good of a person because they all are choosing to stay. And they might not have chosen to stay within Waystar Royco, but, you know, they say it in this episode, Jess, they say, like, who do you think Dad would have picked? And he's like, I don't think he wanted any of us to be in charge.
Yeah, and that's ultimately what ends up happening. And I have to say, I really loved the outcome. I really liked that the show kind of faked us out into thinking that Roman was going to be the tough vote at the end, right? They hover on him. It's a little bit of shades of, you better be smelling your armpit, Romulus.
No, the armpits are smelling great this time. He's more focused on the open wound on his head that nobody's making a comment about.
So brutal. But it ultimately ends up being in Shiv's hands, which I absolutely loved. Shiv gets dealt a really bad hand most of the time. And so for her to be the deciding vote, when all season long I've been so concerned about her just being the pregnant woman, like that being what her role was reduced to, I don't mind that it came into play here because it is a reality. And I think, like, I'll be very interested to read some interviews this week and see what some of the actors have to say about their interpretations of this. But my interpretation was very much, Shiv is thinking about not only just herself at this point, but her baby. And we know, based on the conversation she has with Tom earlier, that there are still feelings there, or at least there's something there that she wants to salvage. And so her best play here, she can't trust Kendall. She really can't. Yeah. He's proven time and time again he can't be trusted. Tom, at the very least, they are bound together in one way or another by this baby. And so she's going to get a piece of that pie in one way or another with Tom being in charge.
Yeah, I completely agree. And what I love about it as well is the cycle perpetuates, right? This entire show has been about the toxic relationship that these children have, living in the shadow of one of the most powerful men in the world. And as much as characters like Shiv and Kendall want to talk about straying from the norm, we're doing things differently. You know, there's so much talk throughout the series for Shiv about, like, you know, the difference between you and me is, like, I don't bullshit what I'm saying. We're both saying the same things. You're just saying it behind someone's back and claiming that you're doing it, like, for your own reasons, like she did with Mattson. So I love that in this way, she is defaulting back to her behavior. And honestly, you'd say it's a little Logan-esque. It's a little Caroline-esque, in my opinion. I do not think it's coincidental that we end the series with them making one final trip to their mother's house, that the Caroline was very much an enabler and withholding in her own right. And I would not be surprised if Shiv took perhaps the wrong lessons from her parents in moving forward with Tom and her unborn child.
I think what I do like about the finale, when I'm sitting with it, like, I said in the preview pods, Jess, I think we did a preview pod with Amanda. I said, what I want is Kendall to just be content. I want him to, like, get out and be content. No, that's not what happened. Roman looks a little content. Roman looks a little, there's a little smile of, like, I'm out, I'm done. I don't think I was good at it.
He's free, right? Yeah. Free. Well, wait, look at the premiere of this episode, of the season. He wants out. He wants the 100. Yeah. He wants the siblings. He wants the 3B. He does not want all of the fighting and the contention and all of that to be taking place. And I feel like it finally sinks in when he's in the room with Shiv and Kendall, and it's all just going to crap around him. Like, he loves, let's be real, like Roman suffers. Roman always suffers, okay. And he likes to suffer. He was like seemingly injuring his own stitches a lot this episode.
Was Kendall abusing his brother?
Yeah, that's the question, is like, was Kendall pushing or was Roman pushing himself in? Poor Kendall knows, in my opinion, just because of their power relationship. I agree, though. I think even looking at the beginning in Roman in the series, you know, when it comes to Shakespeare, I always compare Roman to the fool or the jester character, often the one that ironically enough knows the most, but is often, you know, spat down upon for his position. That has gotten proven a bit incorrect. Look at last episode as an example, the fact that Roman himself can be foolish, but he may be the most wise one of them all by the end, when his final words in the show, really, right, besides the whole signing thing, are like, we are bullshit. That clearly the words that his dad told all of them for the last time when they were all together, you're not serious people, this has fully come to fruition. So that being said, this ending was incredibly satisfying to me. I can understand if people are coming in with ideas of like, Greg's got to get to the top, how to succeed without, you know,
that's not the show, though. Trying.
People are going to die. Like, Frank is going to, you know, get his head chopped off. Like, that's, I agree with you, Jess. That's not the show.
It's like, it really kills me because like Greg being CEO just really, you have to bend and twist so far to make that make sense. It makes all the more sense that Tom gets the position because he is amenable, right? We should have all seen this coming the very first couple of scenes this episode. Should have.
Apparently it's a baseball reference, according to a TikToker.
Yeah, we talked about this on the wrap-up podcast last week, but... But
not an unassisted triple play. I think it's very much an assisted triple play.
Assisted.
Yes, renowned American baseball fan Jesse Armstrong. Real good pull there, man.
But either way, Shiv in the very, like, one of the first scenes saying to Mattson, oh, Tom's amenable, you know, he'll suck every D in the room. Like, he'll do whatever you want. These are, honestly, just like the words that Mattson wants to hear. That's what he wants in a US-based CEO. Of course he goes for Tom.
He's got good ideas, Jess.
He's not just a puppet.
He hated that puppet cartoon.
He really, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't hate that puppet cartoon?
Oh, I'd be controlled by Shiv. Yeah.
Listen,
seriously.
If I got an Alexander Skarsgård puppet, like, look out. Door's closed.
But I really did think that all of the things I really like, what I loved about this episode is that everything that happened made complete sense for the characters that we've been watching for four seasons. It's still very much a tragedy in that most of these people seem fairly unhappy with their lot in life by the end of things. But it's not like over the top tragedy, right? We didn't get a Roman death or a Kendall death or something like that, or something happened to the baby.
They all just finally hit each other.
Even Greg and Tom got to like get a lot of chemistry out there.
Yeah, no, I like, just like, we were kind of coming on and I was like, I always feel this way, that I'm always like sitting with my thoughts at the episode. And I think it's because like the show is, you know, we're going to look back on the show and it is very funny at times, but it is really depressing. And Mike, I think we were talking about this, about like Ewan's speech last week, and Kendall's speech last week, and talking about the themes of this show. And I think Marissa had asked this maybe on the wrap up show, but like, what is this show trying to tell us about, you know, culture, about people? And for me, it's, you know, I think like I heard Rob talk on the Rob and Josh show about, we had all had this theory that Kendall was going to become Logan. And I think as I was watching this episode, like that becoming the idea. So Rob was saying, no, like it's so much better of a tragedy for him to think or even get so close to being Logan. Yep. And then for that all to fall through, for him to sacrifice his morals and his put like his daughter in the back seat, you know, to in the pursuit of power and making a good deal. The closer he got to being his father, the tragedy here was not, okay, we're going to see the Logan Roy origin story. It's actually more tragic than that he's just going to end up sitting on a bench alone. And so as I sort of sit with the episode, I think it makes complete sense. It all is the right way. Like I have no critiques with like about how anybody acted or how they did. The thing I'm like sitting coming to the episode is that like, I think for a show that has taught us how to watch it, which is that this is not a happy ending show. This is the end of season one is Kendall looks like he's going to ride this high and he ends up killing a waiter at his sister's wedding. You know, like, you know, there are these moments of, I think the biggest moment of catharsis you can say has been in the entire show is only season two had, I think, had a moment of catharsis where Kendall makes the speech against his father. And almost immediately, he is such a sad sack. He's like immediately put back in his place. And I feel like that's like the other closest we ever got is the three siblings reuniting on the way, uniting on the way to go smush the deal. And Logan has made a deal with his ex-wife and immediately crushes it. And Tom has betrayed them. I felt the exact same way as they were on the dock and in the kitchen. I know I saw some great tweets that are like, I wanted this in my head, the episode ends in the kitchen. Like, I don't need nothing else. Because
we all knew,
like,
it was going to end poorly, but it was really lovely of them to give us those moments, those like vibes moments, right? Where the kids get to be kids before everything goes to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah, it was very, this episode reminded me so much of the season one finale. And it was such a great reflection.
Like the boat moment.
The boat scene, which I feel like was one of the first times that those three finally got to interact with each other. We got like some fantastic mirroring with the Tom and Shiv scenes, both with them after their wedding night, like really coming to terms with love, and then them talking about it in the beginning and like sort of towards the end. And then Kendall's events in season one come rolling back. And I adore the pure irony that the reason why Shiv and Roman say we have to cut bait, this is enough, is because Kendall does what? Denies that he's a killer. Yeah. As much as he had those words in the back of his head that Logan said, you're just not a killer, and he tries to embrace that in season three, now he is backpedaling, trying desperately. Like you said, Grace, this is Sisyphus pushing the boulder right to the top of the hill, feeling like he finally did it. And for the second time, he walks back into a boardroom late, only to find the decision was made without him. I think the thing I love about final season is how much they mirror the first season. And I thought this episode did that so perfectly.
I mean, these people don't change. And I think that the part for me, as I said at the end of an episode, being like, oh man, those people didn't change, because like this is often the reason you go to TV, is for like the hero story or the, like the, you know, the way that it's different, and the fact that it's like not, it's a pretty, in my opinion, it's a pretty depressing ending. Like, who's the biggest winner of this episode? Probably Madsen. That guy's racist and awful.
Tom.
I don't know. Will is going to get a really big apartment.
That's true. No, but she is going to have to hang out with Connor.
That's something I quibble with, because it seemed like throughout the entirety of season four, like they were actually building for Willa to love Connor, and now she's like, oh,
I love
no,
it. I love
this,
that. It's
this
like,
makes sense, though, yeah, right? Like, we all saw this coming, where, again, yes, she said yes to the marriage, but it's a marriage of convenience, and it's convenient for her to stay in New York.
Yeah, I love that. I love
happen.
It. I agree that like Tom is probably the biggest winner, but also like he keeps Greg around, who's like, you know, and the bar is low here for the win, but he keeps Greg around, who has just screwed him over multiple times. Yeah. And then he like, is he holding hands with his wife in the car? Like, kinda. They're
like piles of limp noodles on top of each other.
I really think it's one of those things where I really love a more open ended kind of ending for shows, right? Leave things a little bit to the game. I'm happy we didn't get a flash to the future for the show. I don't think we need it. I can see a world in which Shiv and Tom, if they don't stay married, they're at least co-parenting and they're in each other's lives. And that's kind of all I really needed okay.
You know who the winner is of this entire thing? Jerry. Jerry gets her job back.
Yes.
She got paid a bunch of money, I think.
She got
paid.
Right? Yeah, but Tom says he wants to work with her.
Okay.
Yeah, so it sounds like she'll be right back in the fold. Roman does not seem like he wants to step within like a 5-mile radius of the Waystar Royco building anytime soon. So that deal is done. So yeah, despite not having a line that's not on archival video footage in this episode, Jerry is one of the big winners of the series.
Yeah. I also really loved Frank and Carl having the discussion of like, what do you think? One more round or golden parachute? And he's like, ah, man, I don't know. And Tom immediately comes in and he's like, no, we're axing both of them.
Yeah, so I think that's just, you know, it's this show is exactly what it told us it was going to be. And I think I always had that little bit of like optimism that like, yeah, maybe Kendall, you know, and I think to Rob's point, like a very good point of like, it's not a tragedy enough for Kendall to just be sitting on the top of the mountain and like have spurned everybody, because that's also a win. And really, I think the show is so much about Kendall. I think there's a really important line in here where Shiv says like, you're not the most important.
Yeah.
And he goes, I don't think then. She's just, yes, you do. And I feel like the show, it's like almost the show saying that as well, that like that he's not the most important, but also in some ways, he, you know, he says he's the eldest boy. She says, that's not even true.
Yeah. Listen, really, we remember what Connor said. It's tough though, because Kendall was such, in my opinion, the POV character of the first two seasons. We're like, we occasionally got what I would consider the B plot of Shiv and Tom, but for the most part, it was so fixated on Kendall trying to jockey for power. And I'm glad that they sort of focused more on the ensemble to just bring more material to these absolutely incredible actors. And so it is tough when your story ends with the main character not getting what they want. You could say good or bad, but like our culture is so hyper fixated on anti-heroes and vigilantes that like it just comes down to main characters. I can imagine that that's an outcome that make people a bit disappointed in this, of like, I wanted to see Ken do well, to your point, Grace, but like, to Jess's point, that's not the show.
And I think the thing for people saying that like they wanted Kendall to be Logan and he wasn't, I completely disagree. I still think he's Logan, right? He's still alone. This exact same scene of he's Logan just walking through the park with Colin trailing behind him, we see that exact same thing this season from Logan. So to me, Kendall is Logan. Where's Rava? Where are his kids? They're not here. They left. Like, he is Logan in that ultimately he's alienated everyone. He's all by himself, all in pursuit of this single goal, this one job. That's all he cares about. And it's really even obvious when he comes to Barbados. And obviously Shiv is like, you know, riding this high. She's bragging. She feels like she's got it in the bag.
Shiv, will you stop buying horses without building the carts? Please stop promising that you're a CEO. This has happened twice now.
Yeah, but I do think ultimately Kendall does become Logan, maybe not in the way people wanted, but I really love the outcome. I feel like it's really perfect. It's a perfect ending for the show for none of the siblings to get what they want.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, if Logan wanted one of them to be CEO, he would have made one of them CEO, and he didn't. So, this is what happens.
Yeah, I think there's also, I feel like the thing I'm most afraid of coming out of this finale, there's a lot of Shiv hate out there. And I just feel like, so I feel like it's so unfair. I think like, just, I feel like you've been on this train a lot, which is just that like Shiv has the hardest position being a woman in the Roy family and just trying to like keep being a voice for that, I think is true. We can also all say that and also be like, yeah, none of them are good people. She's also not a great person. But it feels like the thing is like that the decision comes maybe very quick at the end. But I think to your point, the pregnancy is so weighing heavily on her mind. And I think to the point of like, so I've seen some people be like also that like Ken could have done it. I don't know. I think he proves when they push back on him the teensiest bit that he can't do it. He's so desperate. He is, which like, again, they make fun of Roman for that. I feel bad that I like use this language sometimes, but like they make fun of Roman for like not being up for it because he like cried at his dad's. He's like, just because I cried at my dad's funeral, that means I can't be like the CEO ever again. Like I can't be taken seriously.
Yeah, and like, Kendall uses that as like, no, this is a badge of honor. Like you should cry. It means you're a good person,
right?
This is a job that kills you.
Oh, also them doing their Kendall impressions.
There was in the first half of this episode was such great, like the cast hanging around and razzing each other vibes between the Logan impressions, the Kendall impressions, and then between like honestly the most tear-jerky part of the episode, which was them sitting around watching the dinner footage of like the people that did not make it to the table or like were in a very small capacity in the final episode razzing each other. It was so good.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I just want to finish my ship point, which is that I feel like when you look back at this season, there's so much evidence to prove that Shiv is often the one who is the most underestimated. And I think to your point earlier, Jess, about like, I'm writing down like sort of what are we going to go through the episode? There is this whole sort of the beginning of the episode does feel like who's going to get Roman, where he's actually missing. Nobody knows where he is.
Yeah.
And they don't actually seem, they seem concerned, but not that concerned for their missing sibling. But then it's sort of like, okay, we got to get his vote. And he's like, you know, stop, like, you know, can you stop? And even as like, he's like, okay, I am just stopping, but like, just like, I need your vote. Like, don't wuss out. And so they get frustrated. But then like so much of the show has been about Shiv being the one who's the most underestimated, the most spurned, the most like shoved out of the 3B. And so I think it's so fitting that she is the one who actually ends up making the decision at the end of the show in terms of who will be the CEO. And it turns out to be her very convenient husband for scheduling. It's very convenient.
So convenient.
To be married. It's so convenient to be married to your husband.
I mean, listen, as someone who has a very busy schedule, like, I don't disagree with the idea of like, I fell in love with our scheduling conveniences.
There you go.
I mean, listen, it's a little apples to oranges, but I almost look at the decision from an audience perspective. This was not nearly as much of a sudden turn, but I do feel like if you compare this to another high profile HBO series that had its series finale a few years ago, Daenerys Targaryen burning down King's Landing, I think was another similar idea of like, what the hell? This character's doing this thing? What happened? But I totally agree with you both that while that seemed much more sudden, not deeply seated whatsoever, this is something that Shiv experienced not only this season, but the entirety of the series. And I also think, to the point we made before, she was seeing Logan in Kendall. She does not see Logan in Tom Wamsgans. I think she very much has this idea of like, I can fix him. That's what she tells Mattson right in the very beginning of the episode. And so while I do say on the one hand, she's perpetuating the cycle by bringing up another child of a CEO, I do think on the other hand, she's looking at Kendall and is almost thinking he's Logan, but worse, in that Logan, you know, may have been verbally abusive and sometimes physically abusive with Roman, but I do not think anything nearly on the level of what he lied about and then subsequently attacked his siblings for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so fascinating. It just, it makes so much sense that she, and let's be real, all these people are going to have so much money.
I know, they, I was thinking there, I was like, they're so rich.
They want,
they're so rich, all of them are so rich.
That doesn't matter though.
No, they got to buy PGN.
No, it does, it does, because, right, if Shiv, see, this is the whole pitch from Kendall is that, oh, it's the 3B. I'm going to be CEO. Roman's going to deal with social. Shiv's going to get ATN, right? That's how the divisions are going to lay out. But Shiv can kind of have her cake and eat it too. She gets the buyout money, and then her husband, that she may or may not eventually reconcile with, will be CEO. Like, she really is kind of getting both sides of it. And it gives her a little bit of movement to be able to do what she wants with her own time and money. So I really do ultimately think like this is probably the best for them. I think it takes that scene in that room with the three of them for her to reach her limit and realize what Roman realized at the beginning of the season, which is, can we just do our own thing? Because there's no way. Yeah, they get like probably what, less than a day of bliss, of sibling bliss. It's not much. And no,
it is like from like, it gets to whatever time it gets dark in Barbados in the fall until like first thing in the morning when they fly back for the board boat is how much bliss they have.
Christmas is going to be real awkward this year. So they're approaching that, right? They just had election day.
Yeah, well, Carolyn says it's going to make Christmas very difficult that you're keeping the company. Now it won't be difficult. Mm-hmm. So that's great. No, I agree with you. I think there's also something, because this was the plan very season one, is like Shiv is with Tom and Tom will be CEO and Shiv's going to do politics. Roman's out of the company. Ken is like, you know, not really the CEO, was the CEO successor, but not the CEO successor. It's exactly basically where the show ended up. So you get like from when Logan is ready to announce and he doesn't announce until they sell the company. So yeah, again, you do back to the timeline stuff. I think that makes sense. I found a perfect tweet that sums up. This is from Zoe Rose Bryan, who says, the succession finale was perfect in that I'm seething with rage and unsatisfied, and yet every decision made complete dramatic and thematic sense. And someone says, it all made sense dramaturgically. So
yeah, it did make sense dramaturgically.
Dramaturgically.
And I do think Listen, the show didn't have to give us an hour of like straight sibling vibes, right? They really did give us so much to feast on before we were met with the, of course, yeah, the inevitable put in the blender. Breakup.
Cocoa, yeah, exactly. Hot sauce.
A little bit of spit.
What which, type of cheese was
Peter's
it? I need
cheese.
To know.
Peter's now licked cheese.
Cheese. The what was it? The nubbies?
Nobbies. The nobbies. The frozen nobbies. Ends of bread, which, good God, I didn't think Caroline was could
Thanks
be more
me.
Of a horrible character, but she actively freezes ends of bread.
Yeah, Peter doesn't was, like them, Mike.
Then just throw them away, woman.
Give them
good
to the birds.
God. No, Caroline's too withholding. She's not even going to feed animals. You never,
no
you ever
food
see
in the house.
In
yeah, no food in the house. Don't worry. I have some nubbies.
Also, one of my favorite running gags throughout the show is how terrible is Caroline at like getting a dinner for her children. Like, it's always some garbage or like not enough food or like little pigeons or something she fed them once. It's never anything good.
This was going to be, I think, a flubby fish afterwards or grubby
gummy,
fish.
Gummy fish.
Gummy fish.
Yeah, gummy fish.
Yeah, which again, they were all, I mean, Roman looked like a Kieran Culkin role back from like 1993, like with his little t-shirt on. I mean, what I do find interesting about all this is, again, going back to what we were speaking about on the Discord, Grace, to me, especially now after this episode, Kendall's eulogy is maybe my favorite thing that's been written for the show, because that is what the show is about the thing that drives us all. Desire and greed, they're like rectangles and squares. You know, greed is a type of desire, but you can't have desire without greed. But like, we are motivated by it, a desire for love, a desire for acceptance, a desire for validation, or a desire for money. And that's what drives them apart at the end of the day, is Kendall's overweening desperation to get that nut, to have his pile, to finally get this position he feels like he was literally born to do. I love that imagery of the fact that, you know, I go back to the monarchs of Europe and how they felt like they were chosen by God. Kendall was sort of deeming himself that. They were even, you know, befitting him of a king, Game of Thrones style, pouring stuff over his head. And so I love that, because this overwhelming greediness ends up purveying all of these characters, it sends everything crumbling down. The question is, what would Dad do? And while Logan was certainly looking to sell Waystar Royko, I do not think he wanted things to fall apart the way that they did, though he may have expected it, considering his final words to his children.
Jess, what do you think? I think you're so spot on that it's she's thinking about, okay, Tom can be CEO. That's great for her kid. Is there a moment? I know some people have been chatting in the chat. We have a very lively chat tonight, so I apologize. I can't. Oh, it's so hard to pull up previous quotes. But someone says, when Kendall sat in the chair, is the moment where like he's feeling it and like Shiv is like, maybe not. Is there a moment?
He puts feet on the desk.
Oh yeah, when he's talking.
And I
with
felt
Stewie.
Like that
he's
was
offering
like
Stewie. What he's offering Stewie?
A board seat.
A board seat or like a
no, I'm sorry, a chair.
A chair.
I'm so sorry, a chair. A seat, a chair, you know,
and maybe
potato.
A little bit of Molly on the side.
Yeah. No, it's also it's that and it's the putting the feet up. He's very comfortable immediately, which I think is red flags for Shiv, because this is shades of literally episodes this season where it's supposed to be her, Roman, and Kendall all working together simultaneously, right, even though the boys are only the one or the CE bros, right? And inevitably, Kendall leaves her out of things over and over and over again. And I feel like this is shades of that, where it's Stewie comes in. He immediately offers Stewie something that they didn't have any time to discuss.
Yeah.
And so I think it immediately triggers a red flag in her head of like, oh no, here we go again. The honeymoon phase of our of us being reunited is over. So I think so. I think she's always been the one hesitating, right? When her and Roman are having the conversation on the shore by the beach, you know, she is hesitant to offer Kendall the job. She's like, we could just kill him. We could.
And we thought for a second, okay, I guess we're going in that direction.
That was really funny when they're talking about it. Like, okay, but like, how do we kill him? Like, it's gonna be so tricky. I don't want to do paperwork, you know?
The Roman Shiv relationship honestly might be one of my favorites in the show. Like, when, really, no offense to Kendall, like, I think the way the two of them interact, again, I hate to keep comparing this to Game of Thrones, but again, I think the expectations were there. I mean, I know that I said that Shiv, you know, reneging on the vote was very much Dany burning down King's Landing, but I do feel like what she does to Kendall is very much Jon Snow killing Dany, feeling like you have become the descendant of, you know, the Mad King, the person that, you know, ruled over this place with an iron fist and led us to ruin. I don't want this to happen again. Let me actively prevent the future and maybe get a little bit of a nest egg for myself on top of it. I think it was such a, it's the perfect twist to me where it's shocking in the moment, but the more you trace it back, and especially from dramaturgically speaking and from a character standpoint, I think it makes all the sense in the world. I mean, Shiv has always been one of the most level-headed characters, in my opinion. Roman has been one of the more emotionally driven ones. We see Kendall literally drive him into his arms to try to get him back on board, to push him over the line to get this vote to happen. And so I think it makes all the sense in the world, and that this is the thing to just absolutely send Kendall shattering, behaving by far at his worst, and truly showcasing the man he has become and the man he will become by proxy.
Yeah.
That room, that boardroom scene was really difficult because you get the sense, at least I did, that Roman is not, I don't want to say asking for it because like physical violence is never the answer, but like he wants Kendall to hit him. Yeah. Like, you know, we saw him one episode ago going into a crowd of protesters and like egging them on. It really feels like he's purposely saying things to Kendall to get him, to push him over that line, to finally allow Shiv to just go say no in the room.
Someone said earlier that I think like one, a good point about Shiv's no vote not coming out of nowhere is also like Roman doesn't confidently say no. He's like, doesn't say anything. And then he's like,
Kendall replied like damn straight.
Yeah. So I do think the scene in the board, I think that there's a little bit of that. I think last episode, him going out to the, you know, the marching against the crowd to get elbowed in the face. I think, you know, there's a history of him not caring about abuse. I also just felt like that was the moment. It was so freeing. I thought that the boardroom scene, the fight scene is so interesting in the sense of when he says, no, I didn't do it. It's not just, Are you lying to me right now? They also wonder in the moment whether it was a move. Roman asks, was it a move? And I don't think probably, I think that they know he did it. And he's just trying to like figure out how to get through this conversation with
Roman's tone was very much like, come on, man, really? You're going to try to do this?
Yeah, but I think they're siblings. They know when each other are lying, at least for the most part. And like, what if you remember, that is one of the most infamous scenes of Succession is when Kendall reveals this information to his siblings. And like, there's no way Kendall is putting on that big of a show about that. It just, Kendall, it doesn't make sense. make sense.
Yeah. And so, but I also think that, you know, the things he says about the kids are that, you know, it's not the real bloodline. That's what dad would have said. The implication there is that Sophie is adopted and that Iverson has probably done through like a sperm donor.
IVF.
So that I think is the implication there, which is a horrific thing to say. Kendall also shouldn't choke him, but it does feel like by the end of that scene, I think, you know, you talked about this, Mike, Roman's language there, I think is just someone who is so done. I think it's the reason why we see him smiling is that he knows that like the idea that I kept saying about like Kendall's going to like become in charge and then be like, well, for what? What do I have? And I think that that's what Roman is seeing. He's like, he's embarrassed at the office because he did like he sent dick pics to Jerry and Jerry's over there getting a bunch of money and being like, you know, whatever. Like, I think like he's just so over all of it. The scene also where he does like Kendall and him hug and is he pushing himself in or what? But he's also just like looking. And he's like looking at his like the stitches and be like, but why couldn't have him been me? And he's pointing to his stitches of like he's just such a bruised man and just ready to be done. And so him sitting, I love that we get one last awkward sitting for Roman.
Yes, he climbs on the table and I was like, yes. To me, it's very much he uses his family as armor a lot. Right. Roman does. Right. Whenever he has the backing of his family members is when Roman feels the most confident and when he's like at his happiest.
Yeah.
He loves when everyone is kind of
he went to his mom. He went to his mom.
He went home to his mom, right?
In the fight. Can you help patch me up?
Yeah. It's so fascinating.
Couldn't even look at him.
And so it's one of those things where as soon as he is you know, it's almost like they're on vacation or they're on like school vacation together with your siblings. And then you have to come home and he goes into the office and he sees all these people that he like feels very embarrassed about his actions around. Right. Like he cried, and not that this is a sign of weakness, but this is how Roman interprets it, because that's what he's been told, is he cried in front of all of these people, including Jerry, and now he has to see them all, and he, like, I feel like he didn't, it didn't really dawn on him until that moment that he's gonna have to sit in a boardroom with all these people, and I think what's interesting is that it's Kendall who has to comfort Roman, because this has never been Kendall's strong suit, in my opinion. I feel like Shiv does a much better job at kind of understanding her siblings and like what they might need to hear. I still think Kendall does like a pretty adequate job here at like calming Roman down. But again, we get the question of like, I don't know how to read. I need to rewatch the scene. I don't really know how to read.
You're going to rewatch Succession?
What?
Shocker. I don't know how to read Kendall's face in this situation when he's hugging Roman, because to me part of it looks like he's like, I'm kind of over this, like, are we done yet?
I kind of give it like, I'm being my dad and I'm gonna give him like real tough love, which is like the real hard, like just snap out of it, like I'm just gonna like, hug you.
Think about what he said to Colin last week, right? Like, oh, that head shrinking, like real men don't need that. I think he really has adopted that attitude. He calls Roman a cuck. That shows you how far he has come from season 3, and I do think the image of Roman's wounds being reopened is so great here. I think he's slowly coming to this realization without realizing it of all the demons he has accrued over his time in these past 4 seasons. Despite the fact that he was sort of this like playboy on the outs, in his attempts to make a better name for himself, to go to managerial training, to get involved with Jerry, to become one of the CE bros, he has accumulated so many bad things about himself, sometimes self-effacing, sometimes to others. And like, this was the first time he was truly facing that, because everybody was there. Everyone was waiting for that decision. And so I do wonder if over the course of that boardroom conversation with the siblings, he does realize like, yeah, this place isn't good for me. This is where I'm my worst. This is my heart of darkness. I'm getting the hell out of the Congo and getting myself to a bar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can we chat about Tom? I think Tom maybe has the biggest night, and we haven't really chatted that much about him, but he basically has a night out with Lucas Madsen, and boy, it's very uncomfortable.
Well, what's so interesting is I love the fact, and it makes so much sense to me, again, compared to Game of Thrones, very much so, of Tom to me has always been the guy that was trying to get in. I was thinking back to the very first scene. He's trying to figure out the best watch to get Logan. He's going to propose to Shiv in episode 2. Yeah. And now he's saying time's up to the Roy siblings by the end of it. And so I do love that idea as well of like, it's not exactly a story of pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, but like, of course, the family is undone. And while Shiv is tangentially related, it is this one guy who has tried so desperately to get in there time after time, actually succeeding, not able to do what Kendall's doing, because it seems from that Madsen scene he has absolutely no spine.
And this is what Mencken and Madsen want, right? Like, this is why Madsen chooses Tom, because not only is he like, well, he, it's easy to use him because he runs ATN currently, so it's an easy sell to have him as CEO, but also Mencken seems to like him because of everything surrounding the election. So if Mencken seemingly we do get a little bit of whispers and rumors about like there being issues with whether or not Mencken actually is president. Obviously I like that we're left off not really knowing.
Wisconsin is not going his way, is what it sounds
Schrodinger's
like
president comes back around. We don't know if he's president or not.
Connor could be president.
Yeah, so geez, it's like Schrodinger's votes. We don't
know. It all comes back around.
But I do think that it makes sense that Tom is CEO because he's someone that can be manipulated, and because he is he's a person that you could point to and be like, that guy. Yeah, sure, he's not that offensive to me. I mean, he's offensive to most people after the Mencken stuff, but you know what I mean, like in that department. And I think I never thought after last episode that Madsen ever was taking Shiv as his CEO. Like, it never felt like a serious proposition to me. One, because the minute he talks about her pregnancy, I'm like, that's it. That's done. She's out. Like, he's not going to pick her. And on top of that, he's disgusting and he's erratic, and you can't count on him to make a logical decision. Him wanting to not have Shiv, not even because she's pregnant, not because of that, because he wants to have sex with her. That's the reason that he's not going to choose
her? Sorry if that
her?
Makes you uncomfortable, Tom. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, that, and that's okay. The other thing as well. Then, yeah, the Thomas there be like, yep, it's fine. You can lust after my wife. That's absolutely fine. Please, sir, make me that CEO. May I have some more? It goes to show, again, like, the lack of limits that I think Tom is willing to go. First off, I think he's more than happy to leave ATN behind after just the absolute disaster that is accumulating of election coverage. But
he leaves burning bridges behind.
he's like, well,
bruises later. ATN, bye. I guess he does have to run all of that now, but still.
Yeah, that's the other thing as well. He comes back around like, I guess I'm handling all that. I mean, listen, the bittersweetness, I think, comes with Tom and Greg. I think they're going to be okay after all, everybody.
He put a sticker on his forehead. It's like essentially a forehead kiss.
That's nice.
Well, he's also saying, though, I own you. You're mine now.
Well, of course he owns him because Maxson hates Greg now.
But this is their relationship forever and always.
They have this push and pull. Yeah, this is always the way it's going to be. Greg is always going to be asking Tom, is it okay if I blackmail you? Right? This is just what their relationship is. And I felt like, I don't know, I don't think the show is like overly fan servicey. It's not that type of show where they're really doing that most of the time. Some of the Greg and Tom stuff, I do think at this point they really want to lean in. And I think that was for the fans. I really do. I think the sticker on the forehead and the Tom kind of forgiving Greg and being like, nope, I own you and your pay is about to go real down, but you're still okay. You're here, buddy.
It was very fun to learn one of the character salaries. Greg makes $200,000. Very interesting.
I know that's not a lot in New York City, but when I tell you,
it's a considerable amount in New York City. $200,000 a year.
I mean,
I thought anybody on Succession made, but that's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. It's a lot.
It's a lot of money. Yeah.
Should we do? We'll wrap up here, I think. But we have many Succession pods to come. But quick hits. Any other fun trick? I did love Connor's the way that he facilitated how we got Logan stuff. But also in one of the other moments of levity and sibling love was like, where are Logan's medals? And Connor's like, oh, there was like a first round. And they're like, with who? And he's like, just me. And they all laugh. They like just laugh.
They don't care.
It's like, yeah. Connor, what else does he get? Nothing.
No, because then he asks, like, don't you want anything else? And he's like, oh no, I'm not even gonna be living here. The only other thing other thing we haven't talked a ton about that I just want to briefly touch on is how beautiful and wonderful that moment was with them all in the dining room watching like a home movie that was not that long ago before Logan's death. And I just thought it was really like a familial moment that not a ton of the show is relatable in terms of like how rich all these people are, but something
we've
like
all
that,
done an impression of our dad as I'm a little teapot. We've all done it.
We've all sang like Scottish. We've all seen Scottish brogues apparently together that I could see. This felt a little fan servicey to me. I could understand because to your point, Jess, the Roy family and company are not known for sitting around singing campfire songs and telling dirty limericks. But like at the same time, I really felt the siblings' reaction to it because like they're not going to completely look back on their childhood as entirely bad moments. Shiv talked about in her eulogy, like we used to play outside of dad's office. Like there were clearly moments that these kids had that were positive, that there was that warmth, there was that sun that Shiv had talked about in the last episode as well. So I was happy to see it. It was nice to get like one encore for Brian Cox. It was not in the way that we thought. I think actually Alan Ruck was more of a Brian Cox than Brian Cox was this episode. Yeah. But it felt heartfelt to me. It felt earned, I think. And I also think it helped reflect well onto the siblings of like, we didn't know how good we had it until he left us.
And it's just another way to get Logan and Brian Cox in the finale in a way that makes sense. So I really did appreciate that and love it. I felt like it, and it was just kind of like on in the background. They all just kind of like sit around for a second and they're all crying. It's just, it's very emotional. And it felt like a really proper way to have the last like sibling camaraderie moment before everything goes to hell, basically.
Are you ready for me to poo-poo on the sentiment that it was nice and cute and lovely?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so sad. That is a moment where their father is not speaking to them. He's sitting with, I'm not like a.
It was Carrie, like,
Frank, Jerry, Carl. I believe I can't, if I can find this one, I don't know if I can, but Josh Wigler. just to have an appearance on the pod, just did say he's posting from the post show recaps YouTube account. Says, if you say Frank and Carl Fest and it sounds like Frank and Carl, which sounds right. So I just wanted Josh to have a moment.
Josh,
on the pod.
Squat on that account all you want before I take over. Josh, gone.
That's right. But I actually think it's like they weren't invited. Connor is invited. Connor's like, yeah, I did this thing. And like they're sitting there as this, like, they're like crying. And that's, I think it's fair for them to cherish it at a moment. But in the context of like all the ways in which you have a nice moment with your father before he passes away, this is like a very, I think it's so Succession-y, right? Like
it's bittersweet.
It's very bittersweet and very like, it's kind of sad that that's like their sad send off to their father is from a dinner party that they would have never been invited.
Well, right. But there's also like, gosh, I can't even imagine there being actual home videos of the family like having a good time. Yeah, it's not like there are other ones, right?
Well, I think what's also interesting is that the two posthumous appearances from Logan Roy have both been on screen. And I think this idea that was elaborated so much on in the eulogies of like, what does this Titan live on as? It's through the media that he created. I thought was so appropriate, both in the very public facing thing with Living Plus and the shareholders meeting, and now in a very private setting where like his memory lives on both in our hearts, in our actions, as unsavory as they may be, but also in the fact that like this was a man that was all about screens and creating the demons that exist therein.
Yeah. All right, let's get through some feedback before we wrap up here. Robin is interested in knowing who the new Jess is going to be on PSR. He called them new Jess. He's like, new Jess, get in here. So I gotta go. I got on the plane. It's so sad. It's so sad. Good that Jess is out, though, almost immediately.
Do you think her name is Jess or that he forced her to change her
name?
No,
he says her name later. It's not Jess. Yeah. I don't know what her name was. I can't remember, but he does say it one time later.
Yeah. I love this from our good friend Marissa Garza, who says Shiv didn't want to fail at both business and marriage. Earlier, Tom says you never liked failing a test, did you?
Yeah.
So I actually like that as well in terms of the reasoning for Shiv being the one. Blast says Carrie was in the living room and is going to be able to stick her.
She was round two. She was round two.
She's round two. She's part of the secondary. Yeah,
I liked that. That was kind.
Yeah, who would have thought between like last episode and this that Carrie has slowly wormed her way back into the inner circle?
There's no way that first round wasn't Marcia, right? Like Connor was actually second round.
Yeah, I think Marcia took everything out of there that she wanted.
That's
on
what
the
I'm saying.
They
She's
had the stuff
round.
There. Yeah,
she's first round.
Are we surprised no Marcia appearance in the finale?
I really love her last line. The last thing she ever says on the show is, I loved him. He broke my heart and he broke your hearts too. I love that.
I didn't need more from Marcia. I was happy to get her for the funeral. I didn't need her for this episode. I was happy to get Caroline. I did not think we were getting her for the finale.
She does shift Hugo. This is great. Great news.
Oh, no, Carolina. Carolina is going to shift Hugo. And I love that for her.
All right, Caroline.
Yeah, I love her. Like, yeah, new era, no more backstabbing, but just one last backstab for the road. Get Hugo the hell out of here.
Oh, is this why she's like, because Carolina goes up to is like, you know, if it's happening, like, can we get rid of Hugo? Like, you know, is this certain reason? She's like, I guess she have either in this scenario, she really likes Hugo and sacrifices the deal, but Hugo's gone anyway. Either way, Hugo's
gone. Tom certainly seemed to be on the, I mean, he knows that Hugo was like, Kendall's right hand man, so he's first on the chopping.
But there's already the cut list, right?
I was gonna say, would Tom be able to override the kill list at all? Because like I thought these were all guaranteed, like Tom dead, or no, sorry, Frank dead, you know, Carl dead.
Yeah, the only ones that were saved from that were Carolina, Jerry, and Tom.
Jerry comes back because of the I mean, can Tom override? I feel like it'd be a bad decision to be like, I will be your puppet, and then be like, also I have a request.
Well, he's the only social capital he said he has is to get Greg, so that's about as much as he can do.
What's interesting though is I think we see Greg and Hugo both as like cautionary tales of like every dog has its day, but sometimes it doesn't, right? That like if you yoke your wagon to the wrong person, you can succeed or at least get by with your life like Greg did, or assuming is going to be the case with Hugo, like fail, maybe get some jail time if the insider trading gets leaked out because he decided to become Kendall's dog.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Kendall's dog, Sarah says the crown goes to Mondo.
They're fine. They were on their way home to finally feed the damn dog.
Walk and feed Mondo. That's good news.
Oh, Mondo.
Well, that is, I think, the live feedback. Final thoughts before we start closing out here. I mean, it's not final thoughts. There's many more podcasts to come, which we'll get into. But yeah, this is the Sunday night, Succession Sunday night. Everyone's looking forward to the Idol Sunday night next week, right? Yeah, same. Okay, yeah. Right. Okay, Succession. Final thoughts on Succession.
I just thought this was a perfect ending. I know I can be a bit of an apologist. There's not much I dislike about Succession, but I really just feel like they gave us everything we wanted to see, right? We got some happy moments. We got some, I wasn't expecting the siblings to have so much time together that was actually like joyous. So I'm really thankful that we did get to see that. And I mean, as expected, it's a tragedy and it ends a bit tragically, but not so dark that it's like difficult to sit with. So I'm ultimately really, really pleased. And I look forward to watching this episode oh so many times.
Mike? Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, first off, I have to give a major thanks to you both as well as Josh. I mean, this is a show that I would not have gotten into were it not for the praises that you were lauding. And I'm so happy that I did, because to me, this is like one of the best shows that has ever been made. I think it is one of the most complicated, larger than life, yet personal tales that has been put to screen. I'll continue to be hyperbolic. I think Tom and Shiv is one of the greatest romances that we have ever seen. It is so incredibly confounding to me. And I am dying for the inevitable YouTube edit of like all the Tom Shiv fight scenes, because their dynamic is just so odd, where it's a consistent dance, but the styles change like every 5 minutes, and where it ends as well with like them happy, but not so happy, as Mark Mylod talks about that, like, Shiv has found her place that she's settled in, but she sort of has like lost all sense of warmth at the same time. And is that truly a happy ending? I just love shows that we get to like dig into and debate about. There is so much TV out there nowadays, and a lot of it can really be by the books, that I'm so happy to have this show that, in my opinion, could not end any other way. I think how it ended made so much sense. I think you could certainly quibble about structure, about scenes, about choices, but I really have no reservations whatsoever with how the show ended. I am absolutely head over heels in love with the scheduling conveniences that the show had brought me. And it's thanks to all of you and to all of you that are listening for letting me come on and just like, you know, have a midnight foaming at the mouth reaction.
So few shows that just air on one night of the week and we all watch them at the same time. Like, the scheduling convenience of Succession was real. It was real.
Yeah, and it was just such an incredible balance of like legitimate buffoonish comedy with like tear-jerking drama. It's something that I think really brought me back to like my days studying theater and complicated characters and theatrical circumstances. It's something that made my heart absolutely sing, like that choir that closed out the series. I think if you're looking for a better episode of television, I think it's Connor's Wedding. But if you're looking for this season's best episode of Succession, I think it's this one.
Fascinating. Yeah, I think the more I sit with it, I'm like, yeah, it all makes sense. And I guess that's the way it's actually going to be, a tragedy. So I think I like it, but you know, it's not super fun, but it's very fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And shouts to Kendall Swims. But what about the water? There was a lot of water imagery.
Look at water.
And we were all very nervous when Kendall was swimming, I gotta say.
Oh, when he was swimming alone.
Well, especially because
it's dark. It's dark. He's swimming.
Well, we know that he's back off the wagon. He had some rum punches before they ended up sitting down for dinner.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. That also made me very nervous. Him drinking and swimming. I was, no. That's not good, but it's okay.
All right. Well, this is not the end of Succession chat. We're doing a deep dive. We will be joined. Dr. Mann and I will be joined by Josh Wiggler. So that should be very fun to break down everything. It's going to be a long one, an hour and a half deep dive. That's just the episode.
I can't wait.
Yeah. The Versus Pod, LaTanya and Josh, were breaking down both season finales, series finale for Succession. There'll be shenanigans with Rob and Josh.
Oh,
and
of course, major shenanigans. If you've saw Rob's tweet in response to the finale, I think that I might not be able to listen. Our general positivity, I think, will have some combatants, Kendall and yeah. Roman style, by the time Wednesday rolls around.
Yeah, a singular thumbs down emoji from Rob Cesarino. So that should be very interesting. The wrap-up show, Jess and Josh, you'll be here on Friday, pushrecaps.com/YouTube. You can also join and hang out in the chat. So be there. Or be square. Is that a thing? That's not. I think we're bringing it back.
We could bring it back.
All right, but we're all square.
That's what we love.
No. All right. If you want to catch anything else I'm doing, you can find me on Twitter at High From Grace. Jess, what about you?
You can find me at the Jess Sterling. And don't forget to send in your scores. PosherRecaps.com/RateRoy. Episode scores, character scores. You could do it all the way back to season one if you really want to. Just let your voice be heard. If you want to have your opinion known, send them in.
That's right. Mike, what are you up to? Where can people find you?
So first you can find me shooting the ish at a Mike Bloom type on all social media. Yeah, in a week that has us kind of throwing up our hands and saying HBO, why? The Barry series finale aired tonight. Mm-hmm. I am going to watch it and podcast about it tomorrow early on with LaTanya Starks. Considering the direction that season has gone with, I actually feel like we are in for a very unpredictable finale, so I have no idea how the hell that plane is going to land, but we'll be talking about that. I'm also talking about Silo with Dr. Amanda, which is a new Apple TV Plus mystery box dystopian show that comes out on Fridays. We've already banked our episode 6 recap, and I will say it is a freaking wild episode of television. So feel free to check that out. Josh and I are going to keep doing our usual stuff with Down the Hatch as we segue from Lost to Battlestar Galactica. And hey, because everything is deciding to end at the same time this week, Survivor 44 just wrapped up. We did get one winner at the end there as well. Certainly someone who had more of a spine than Tom and then some. And I got the pleasure of talking with all the final five contestants and interviews the next day, as well as doing our usual RHAP B&B shenanigans. But again, I have to thank you both and Amanda and LT and Rob and like all the guests that you have had on. This is an absolutely sublime season of television, in my opinion. There were nits to pick, but like, it was just such a great experience getting to watch this. And I'm really going to hold some very special memories, you know, from a lot of episodes that made me feel things I didn't necessarily want to feel. But at the same time, I'm ready to lick my wounds and sit down at the proverbial podcast bar and order up another.
Yes, so fun. Well, there's lots more Succession to chat about. As a reminder, make sure you get your ratings in, pushergroups.com/rateroys, because as we finish up this week of shows, we'll also have episode rankings as well as the Battle Royale happening. So that all should be very fun. I think that's it for tonight. So until next time, F off!
P to the OD. Cast on the weekly about Succession. So many pods per week. See, P to the OD. Cast on the weekly about Succession. Podcasting like a pro, make some noise.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.